Today's reading comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be reading from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Will you pray with me before I begin? Father, I pray that as I open my mouth, your words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I was little and our family went to the beach, I used to love going out into the water with my dad, and we would go out past the breakers, where we would float on our backs and lie peacefully and go over in the water. It was lovely. But to get out past the breakers, you needed to go through the breakers. You need to come up against the rushing waves as they come storming towards you. I remember this one time, it was a really windy day. And the waves were really rough, really rough. So I was little Claire in a little green swimming costume walking out towards the water and seeing these big waves, which were so much taller than me, rushing towards me, trying to judge, should I go over it, should I go through it, should I palm my nose and go under it? It was quite scary, but I made my way out until one wave picked me up, lifted me up off my feet and rolled me over in the wave. You've had it done to you before. You get dumped. And I got dumped. I got dumped bad. I was dumped way down, like 5 metres down the beach, down the end of the shore, and stood myself up, pulling the sand out of my costume and the salt water up my nose. I got dumped really terribly. There were froth and bubbles everywhere, and it was a horrible experience. But I stood up and I started out yet again, trying to stand against the struggling waves that were coming towards me. And sometimes that is what our weeks and our days are like. We go from one crisis to the next crisis, and we often stand and think, after we've recovered, how are we going to stand in the struggle? And sometimes it is just relentless. We have work and family stress. We have relationship stress where we come to the very end of ourselves and we think, how are we going to stand in the struggle? I don't know what kind of week you have had. In the past week, my mum has told me of 3 of her friends who have been diagnosed with cancer. There's sickness that's rife throughout the schools that I visit and in our office. During the week, I've prayed for a friend who has had depression and another friend who has just lost her sister in a car accident, leaving 2 kids behind. So I don't know, we might just shrug our shoulders and think, yeah, well, that's just life. But sometimes life is a struggle. We go from one crisis to the next crisis. We answer phone calls delivering bad news to us. We go to work and we rail against co-workers who are struggling. We are thrown from one crisis to the next as we come home with our families that are fighting. But it's not always the circumstances. It is the circumstances, but it's not always just our circumstances that we struggle with. I don't know about you, but some of my hardest struggles are the ones people can't see. The ones that are internal, the struggles not to commit that respectable sin that no one can see I'm doing. When I'm wrestling with my heavy foot and the speed limit. When I'm wrestling with the TV remote trying to not watch screens that lead me into temptation. When I'm wrestling not to share that juicy piece of gossip that will get somebody up there speaking about someone behind their back. They're the struggles that I rail against. So with the circumstances and the weaknesses in my life, I find it hard sometimes to stand in the struggle. How do we do that? Last year, a woman that I lived with at college, a dear friend of mine, was diagnosed with breast cancer. She had no family in Sydney. Her mum lived in the country and had Alzheimer's, so she couldn't really share with her any of her pain, and her father had passed away. Each week she had to go to RPA to get her chemo treatment done, and as her hair fell out and as her body weakened, she had to pull back on her college classes and she had to move off campus. Every single day was a struggle for her, physically, emotionally, and completely a spiritual struggle. How do you stand firm in your faith in a struggle like that? Well, as we come to Ephesians 6, Paul is going to give us some powerful and some comforting advice for Christians, for us as we seek to stand in our struggle. He tells us three things. First, he tells us what is our comfort in crises. Then he tells us that we have weapons to wrestle with. And then he tells us, finally, that we have a battle plan which will give us victory. When we feel defeated, we can stand up in God's strength in our spiritual struggles. You know when you've just moved house and you get out of the truck and you come out the back and you open up the back door and you look at all your heavy stuff and you look at the house and it's all got to get in and you look at your big bed and you look at your big couch and you look at your massive bookcases and you think, ugh, how am I going to do all this? But then these big, strong removalist men come and they've got these big guns and they've got these big wheelie things that they use and they just put all the stuff in there for you. It's great. That's the kind of comfort that we are to feel as we read Paul's comforting advice for us here in Ephesians 6. He says, amidst the trials and the struggles in our lives, what our true comfort in our crisis is that we don't battle alone. We don't even battle in our own strength. But we stand in our struggles with a God who equips us with his strength to enable us to stand. Paul says, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty strength. It's the Lord Almighty strength that helps you stand. The Lord who is the host of armies. And notice how it is we are strengthened. We are strengthened in his mighty power. At the beginning of Ephesians, Paul prays for the Ephesian church and he says that I pray that you would know the incomparably great power for those who believe. That power is the mighty strength which he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. This has to be the most amazing comfort for us when we are struggling in our everyday circumstances and in the weaknesses we have. We are supported to stand by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If you believe in Jesus, that Spirit is in you, giving you strength. That means that when we're tired of trying and failing, it is God's strength that is going to see us stand. When we're tired of caring for family members who are always sick, when we're tired of struggling through financial crises and wrestling with our weaknesses to be holy, it is God's Spirit that is going to help us to stand. What an amazing comfort. And that's an amazing comfort to give to others. Imagine sitting with someone who is wrestling with a miscarriage or wrestling with a deep struggle in their life and saying to them, you have the Spirit that raised Christ in you to carry this for you, to enable you to stand. What an amazing comfort in our crises. But it does leave us with a question. How? What does that look like? What do we do? Well, Paul says that we need to be proactive. We don't just wait for the comfort. It will come. It is there. But you need to be proactive. He says, put on the full armour of God. Why? Because the battle is real. And so Paul gives us spiritual weapons for a spiritual battle. So yes, it is true that you have the power to stand. But what that looks like are the weapons that God gives us to wrestle with. Spiritual weapons for a spiritual battle. As Paul describes these weapons to us that we can stand firm with, he keeps using this warfare imagery, which would have made heaps of sense to the Ephesians because they know all about Roman soldiers. But I don't know about you, when I became a Christian, I didn't receive a box which said God's full armour on it that I could just put on. So they're not physical things that we can just pick up and put on. What I want us to notice is that they are, though, gifts that God gives us as we become in Christ, as Christ dwells in us in the Holy Spirit. They are gifts coming from Him. Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, the gift of faith. Again, they're not physical things that we can hold on to, but they are things which put us in a position of strength. We have a knowledge of protection. As a child of God and as a growing Christian, as we grow in our spiritual maturity, God has not left us in our struggles unprotected or alone. But He gives us weapons of protection that are all grounded in Him. He is their source. He is their power. He is their protection. It is God who will enable us to stand. But have a look. Most of the weapons are defensive weapons. A shield, a breastplate, a helmet. That is until we get to the sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon of offense for us to pick up and use. I worked on a kids' camp a couple of years ago, and we were teaching the kids how to be strong when they were facing battles, and we're telling them that they need to find the God sword. So they were searching the campsite for the God sword. What is this God sword? And we're saying, you need it. It's the only thing you need. Pick it up. You need it to fight the battles. And they're searching and they're searching until finally at the end, we told them that it's God's word. It's clever, isn't it? We need God's word. It's right here. If it was good enough for Jesus to use in the desert against Satan, then it's good enough for us to pick up and use as we battle. To remember that we are in Christ, He has given us the words of life, and cling to it. To remember the spiritual weaponry that we have, truth. Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. Righteousness. We have been made righteous in Christ. Faith. We have been given a gift of faith so that we can trust that God will enable us to stand, to extinguish the attacks of Satan. The gospel. We can cling to our salvation. We can cling to a great God who says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that's hard because it's not always practical. It's a knowledge of protection. Imagine in a few years' time, my little nephew Joshua, imagine he wants to play football with some big, beefy blokes. And he just convinces himself that he wants to play, he's going to play. So he runs in on the field and he gets knocked down because he's like little. He's a little boy. He gets knocked around. He gets thrown everywhere. He's struggling in the battle. And then he thinks, hold on, I've got a big, strong dad. My dad is like 6 foot, stronghold of a man. So he runs off the field, goes to his dad, who picks him up, holds on to him, and re-enters the game, taking on Joshua in the battle, taking him with him. He is his strength. He is taking the falls with him. That's what it's like as we stand with God in our struggles. He is our protection. He is our strength. What it looks like practically as we pick up the sword of the Spirit, as we pick up God's word, as we know that he is our knowledge of protection, might look something like this. A couple of years ago, when I was at college, I was struggling in my thought life. I was thinking negatively often about myself, and it was really causing lots of harm with my self-confidence. What can I do? A friend said to me, you need to stop yourself from thinking, be proactive, stop yourself and replace it with something else. Replace it with Scripture. There's this great verse in 2 Corinthians that says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So that's what I did. I stopped every time and then I thought about Jesus. And then I just went and thought about all of these great things about Jesus. It was really, really, really helpful. That's one way that we can start to pick up the sword of the Spirit, that we can know that God is our strength. We can use his weapons. Because we are fighting a battle. It's a spiritual battle. I remember when I was in the ocean, one of the things my dad would say to me was, Claire, you should never turn your back on the sea. Has anybody ever told you that before? You should never turn your back on the sea because you don't know what's coming. And it's the same thing. The spiritual weaponry we have is for a spiritual battle that's real. Look at the way that Paul describes it. He says it's powerful. It's a struggle that's not against the flesh, so we can't feel it, but it's against powers, it's against forces of evil, it's against this dark world. Now, I'm just going to stop for a minute because we need to be a little bit honest and say that this is a bit uncomfortable in our world. We don't necessarily like to talk about the devil. We don't necessarily like to have, you know, conversations with our workmates that say, hey, I really wrestled with the devil's schemes when I was filling out my tax form last night. It's not something that sits comfortably with us. But we are Christians who believe that Jesus has died and risen for us. We are Christians who read God's word and believe that it is God's word. So as we read Ephesians today and we read God telling us that it is a spiritual battle that comes from the devil's schemes, then that's what it is. And it's very real. It's so real that God has given us such powerful weapons to fight it. But you know what else? Satan is also a toothless tiger. Picture, if you will, a huge tiger. A huge tiger, fiercely running towards you, at you. He's coming towards you. He's coming to get you. And as he starts to pounce, you realize that he doesn't have any claws. He doesn't have any teeth. So yes, it's a fair tussle. And you get pounded. You get wrestled down. And it's hard. But he's not going to win. He can't win. The battle has been won. Jesus has died. He has taken your sin upon himself. He has defeated death and Satan, rising from the dead. Christ has defeated Satan. You can't go back in time. The battle has been done. So yes, it's a fair tussle, but Christos victor, you're in Christ, you're the winner. It's an amazing encouragement. So in times of spiritual struggle, remember Paul's words to the Romans. If God is for us, who then can be against us? Paul says, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, present, nor future, powers, height, nor depth, nothing in all of creation will separate you from the love of God that he has given to you in Christ Jesus your Lord. That's amazing. What an amazing comfort in our crises, to be strong in God's strength. God has provided us with spiritual weapons for a spiritual battle. And now, Paul gives us the battle plan for victory as we pray. Have a look at verse 18. Paul's directions for this battle are wonderfully specific. He says, to stand in our struggle, we should pray. How should we pray? In the Spirit. That's the same Spirit that raised Christ. The same Spirit that intercedes for us when we struggle. The same Spirit that Jesus left here to comfort us and to guide us in truth. He says we should also be alert. We shouldn't turn our backs to Satan. We need to be on our guard and look for opportunities to pray, but also look for results. Be expectant that God is going to protect you and he's going to work. When should we pray? All the time. Whenever we want, whenever we can, and always, Paul says. What should we pray? All kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayers and requests. Who should we pray for? All the saints. We need to pray for each other. Last Monday night, our young adults Bible study met, and we had a prayer night. And we prayed for each other in our struggles during the week to be godly, and especially in our struggles in reading God's word. We started our study reading one of Paul's prayers that he prays to the church at Colossae, where he says, I always thank God when we pray because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. And we thought, imagine if we were that type of people. Imagine if we were known for our faith in Christ Jesus and for the way that we pray for all the saints. And that's who Paul is talking about here today. He's talking about us being people who will pray for each other. Pray for each other as we come every week and we hear of how our weeks are going. Pray, listen as people talk to you about their struggles and pray for them during the week. Let's be people who are known for praying for one another. Paul prays at the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians where he says, I pray for wisdom and revelation that you might know God better. Let's pray for each other as we grow in our spiritual maturity. Imagine having someone praying that for you. Pray that you might know God better through the Holy Spirit. Imagine you praying that for someone in this building. Let's be praying for one another that we would be putting on the full armour of God. Well, I was privileged to see the full armour of God played out in action last year. As I said, one of my housemates came down with was diagnosed with breast cancer. She was a dear friend of mine, and she was a woman who was reasonably young in her faith. But she was at college and she was growing. And as she went through her struggle with cancer, the Holy Spirit was so alive in her that it was just a pleasure to watch. We watched as she struggled through bouts of chemo. But at no point did she ask the question why. She just put on the armour of God. She went to appointments with an amazing strength, speaking of how God was upholding her, how she knew the truth of her salvation in Jesus. She rested in her righteousness, in his righteousness in her. She would tell stories of how she would walk into other patients' room and share the gospel with them, which she saw was bringing them peace. It was simply amazing to see this woman in her everyday struggles clinging to the faith that she had, which I saw extinguished the flames that Satan tried to get her with. The Holy Spirit was amazing as she clung to her faith and she got stronger. It was amazing. We watched as the college community prayed for her. She moved out of college into one of her sisters in Christ's apartment who supported her and cared for her and loved her. And we prayed for her. We prayed that she would be strong and we prayed that she would proclaim the gospel, which she did. This was a woman who was struggling to stand under spiritual oppression. She was amazing. It was an amazing strength. We live in a broken world, and the struggles that we face, that you face, are real. They're struggles that come from the devil's schemes. He doesn't want us to grow in Christ. But our place within Jesus Christ our Lord is sure. It is certain. We stand in God's strength. We stand in the Spirit that raised Christ. He has given us everything that we need to fight the spiritual weapons for the spiritual battle. As we leave this week, let's be praying for one another as we grow. As we grow in our maturity in Christ, as we face the week-to-week struggles, let's trust that we have a great God who strengthens us through his amazing Son, Jesus Christ, death and resurrection for you. Will you pray with me? Our Father God, we thank you so much that you are our Lord, that we stand firmly, and after we have done everything, after we know that you are our strength, we know that you have given us all that we need, that we are the sufficiency of Christ. Father, we thank you that you are a great God and you call us as your children and you protect us as your children. I pray for us as a church. I pray that as we grow, you will be protecting us and keeping us. In Jesus' name, amen.